She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed, dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
Estela Castro, welcome to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
We just met in Austin, Texas, in person, and I had to have you on the show. We've been trying to coordinate an interview for some time, and we finally been able to sit down and do it. And can you introduce yourself for my listeners at home?
Yes. So I'm Estela Castro. I'm one of the co-founders of Austinite Cannabis Company, and I am based out of Austin, Texas. And then we are in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and then Marietta, Oklahoma, and then also Norman, Oklahoma. So we are a cannabis company. We have our hemp dispensaries in Austin. And then we have medical marijuana up here in Oklahoma. And so just, we're a family-owned small business, just kind of trailblazing to be where we can in the cannabis space.
I love it. I met you and your husband, Castro, last week in Austin, Texas. You guys picked up me and Stevana from the airport. And the second we got in your car, or the second we landed, you guys handed us a bunch of joints and smoked us out.
Yeah. I'm like, that's just the Texas way. I'm like, when you told me, you're like, oh, I'm just going to Uber. I'm like, no, I'm going to pick you up. This is a whole Texas thing. We're like super friendly. And I had been, you know, listening to your stuff for some time now. And I was just, yeah, I was excited to do the whole show and everything. So
I really appreciate it. It was the most beautiful Austin welcome. And when we were in your car smoking on our way to the comedy mothership, you guys took us directly from the airport to go sign up for the open mic. And I remember I'm in the car with you and I'm asking, how is this possible? How is it possible that we're smoking? We're in Austin, we're in Texas. In California, we have this concept that weed is super duper illegal down there, but you're running a dispensary. We smoked the entire trip and you gave me a little bit of a rundown of how it works and how cannabis like exists in Austin. Can you share some of that with my listeners?
Yes. So it's very different. So just look at it like this. So 2019, Trump had signed that hemp bill that went into effect during his office. So 2019, hemp becomes federally legal, all 50 states. Okay. So at that point, you had everybody trying to figure out how they can get a psychedelic high basically off of the hemp plant. So that's when we evolved into Delta 8. Okay. And so Delta 8 came on board and we were allowed, as long as they're hemp derived, you can sell them, you know, and again, federally legal. So banks now have to carry your money. You get more leniency, right? On, because it's federally legal. Marijuana is not. So that's where a lot of roadblocks come into Oklahoma. But so anyway, so Texas, we had the Delta 8 come about. Well, then now, this was like 2020, Delta 8 came, Delta 10 came, Delta 11. Here we are. People are just mad scientists in the lab creating these different cannabinoids. And then I stayed very close with legislation and we didn't move an inch. This was 2 years ago before all of this before this last legislation. And then there was this evolve of THCA. So THCA is in all THC products, but the way that the law is written, hemp is federally legal. So if you have THCA in very high test results, well, that's considered legal and we can sell them in Texas because it's not THC. So the way the laws were written in Texas, you're not allowed to exceed 0.3 in THC. It never says anything about Delta. It never says anything about THCA. It never says anything about any other components. So that's what we're basically leading on. So, I mean, it's full on dispensaries that are hemp dispensaries that sell THCA products, and there's not a difference in your THCA flower, and as you can tell, that any from different THC. So it's basically saying that once it's lit in combustion, that's what makes it hot. Well, if I sell it to you, I don't know if you're going to light it. So that's how basically you play on it. You can't, you know, if you're going to go light it, well, then that's going to be where it becomes hot. So that came about, and people have just, you know, everyone's just doing the THCA thing in Texas. So basically that's kind of how it came about. And, you know, Austin is decriminalized. So even if, you know, you're smoking and it's on the streets, that's just not something that they're looking for, you know, and we've done it that way to where all the big cities in Texas are decriminalized. So you have Houston, you have Dallas, you have Austin. So it really makes them try, you know, to try to take the focus at least off, and you can, you know, then consume just how you would normally, just, you know, any other place.
You also were explaining to me there's a difference in the city limits of Austin between like cannabis being legalized and it being decriminalized, and how that works mm-hmm. within the city of Austin, I thought was really fascinating.
Yes. So Austin and Travis County are decriminalized. Okay. But then if you travel, if you're on the cusp of Travis County and Williamson County, Williamson County is known for just not only with marijuana, with everything. Like examples, the tax dollars, it's been so black and white where they're like, look at what the police does, you know, all the amount. So it's very different. I grew up in Williamson County, and the old, like literally when I was of age to move out, that I just had to get away from just Williamson County. I just knew that, you know, I was a pot smoker and I was going to end up just not, I had a lot of people that ended up in that little circle, and it was really sad. Like they, you know, got caught with a bag of bud, and then it's like forever on their record where it's not, you know, 20 years ago, it was a huge deal. So yeah, we always tell everybody up north, North Austin, it's not a good place to be with, you know, they'll argue with you about, you know, it's hemp or marijuana. And that's the thing. Can you really tell? You know, I always want to do, I still want to do this as a blind test of some really good hemp and some really good marijuana. And let's see who could really tell the difference, because we have a lot of growers that grow hemp really well, really well. And you see the trichomes, you can actually see all, you know, just as you would any, you know, marijuana plant. So it's really hard for them to tell, but I feel like they just go in on you regardless, because it is not, you know, it is illegal to have any marijuana in those counties that hub the Austin County. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I was nervous because I've never smoked in Texas before, and you hear all of these things. And then after you explained to me how it works, I began noticing that, you know, it was chill. Like we were smoking everywhere. People were smoking a lot, which leads me to my next question is, how did you decide that you wanted to get into the industry and start your own cannabis businesses? You come from a family of entrepreneurs and business owners, but they weren't doing cannabis work before you.
Right.
Okay.
And it's so it's crazy, but if you ask friends that I was in retail before, my kids were little, like 15 years ago, I used to tell everybody, I'm like, man, you know, I was such a pot smoker that I was like, we have to be able to make money off this. Like, this is, you know, we give so much of it away. Like, I remember being like, you know, I was always adding up how much we spent on pot a month. And I'm like, this is a thing. Why don't we, you know, make this a thing? So I've always wanted to have a marijuana license. And the funny thing is, 2014, I was traveling down to our beach house that we have in Rockport, Texas. And so I had to pass Victoria, which is Victoria County. I get pulled over, got paper plates. They immediately thought, like, how is this little Mexicana girl have a brand new truck with paper plates? Long story short, I get pulled over. It smells like marijuana. 14 grams gets me to go to jail, right? And I'm like, okay, we can do this. It's going to be an easy ticket. But this was in 2014. Huge deal. And I remember telling the people that were booking me, I'm like, well, you know, one day I'm going to own marijuana shops. One day. You know, and I remember them like, okay, whatever. So I did everything in my power to keep that off my record, to get it expunged, because I just always wanted to go into cannabis. And then I got sick with a lung disease in 2015. And at that point, I opened up my horizons to, I didn't want to be on pain medicine anymore. And so I just started looking at so much stuff that can heal, because me getting told that I cannot smoke anymore in 2015 was such a terrible, terrible. I remember crying for weeks, because I was like, it was such a big part of my life. If I wanted to chill and I had, you know, my kids or things weren't going, I could just smoke, reset, and let's go. So I had to find another way, and I wanted it to heal. So I started looking up RSO. I started looking into CBD, doing all that. And I, that was around the time that when it went medical to recreational in Las Vegas, and my daughter was traveling, doing Cirque stuff. So I was looking at that whole market, and I was buying RSO. I was off of pain medicine, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I followed that hemp bill very closely. So when I saw that it got put in 2018, and I was like, if they sign this, we're going. If they sign this, we're gonna start in CBD, at least start there. So when it was signed, we opened up 2020. As soon as I was able to get my hemp retail, I think I got it maybe 2 months after they came out in Texas. And I was like, all right, well, we're gonna start with hemp, we're gonna start with CBD. And I followed with legislation very closely. I was always at the Capitol. I was always with, you know, the normal organizations, Texas Marijuana Policies, trying to figure out why we're so far behind in time and why we can't make this legal. So then we didn't pass on anything. And I was one of those believers that thought for sure we were going to pass on something. And then when we didn't, everybody around me was like, oh yeah, we're not going to do anything. So that's when I was like, you know what? I need experience. I want to go to Oklahoma. It's only 4 hours and 20 minutes conveniently up the highway. And I want to get some experience underneath my belt. And I did. And we've been here, and it's super neat to say, oh yeah, you know, I own medical dispensaries. And it super sucks to have to drive and be away from my family, you know, and have two houses and have two electricity bills, all because Texas won't want to move on anything, you know. But I honestly feel, I'm like, this is where I get my RSO. This is where I get the medicine that keeps me from having to take really bad medicine, you know. So it's unfortunate, but it has helped me with, you know, getting experience underneath my belt, because, you know, that's future, is that we want to be able to do this in our home state legally.
Shout out to our sponsor for Marihuaneta Season 3, Chicali Products, a Latina-owned business that helps chingonas relieve pain, reduce anxiety, stress, and help with headaches and migraines with handmade CBD remedies. This is Chicali Products. The Chicali Products bestsellers are the CBD Corona Polisher, which is perfect for headaches and migraines. I have used these products when I've been sick, when I have not felt well, when I've been cruda, when I've just had headaches, and they really do help. And a lot of Latinas in LA swear by Chicali products. Also check out the CBD Mellow Out Tincture for anxiety and stress, CBD Cana Canela Rub, which is a non-addictive remedy for pain. Head to chicaliproducts.com and enter code MALA, M-A-L-A, at checkout to get free shipping on your next order. Use promo code MALA for free shipping and exclusive goodie bags at www.chicaliproducts.com. And Chelly, our main jefa over at Chicali Products, is an East LA born and raised Chicana queer brujita. And she first learned how to make CBD remedies for her mom to provide some relief for diabetic nerve damage. So go ahead and follow at Chicali Products on Instagram for her natural herbal remedies and content. Now back to the interview. So you got your licenses and started opening up shop in 2020.
Yep.
It's been a pretty short amount of time and you've covered a lot of ground. Like, you've really gotten a lot done. You have dispensaries in two states, like, really incredible. And South by Southwest, you did a whole slate of events at Austinite Cannabis Co. down in Austin. And your dispensary is not only a place where people are getting their goods, their cannabis, but you're like bringing the community together for in-person activations and performances that pair well with weed. How did you decide you wanted to like start doing events and bringing people into the space?
Well, that's a funny story, because 2020 we met Aldo, and Aldo just walked into our store, and he was like, "Man, I like what y'all got going on." And I was interested in what he was doing. So he was doing cannabis comedy. And I've always loved comedy. I mean, I feel like that's my other heart, and everything is comedy. So he came in and he was like, "You know what? We should do a show back here." And I was like, "What kind of show?" And he was like, "We should do a comedy stand-up show, and let's just see how it goes." And, you know, I have a bunch of people coming in, and we did it not even thinking it was a thing. I mean, our first show, we had, I remember Tony Lamar hosted it. We had like maybe six people on the lineup, and people came out, and we just did one. And then I was like, "Oh, that was such a good time. That was so much fun." And then 420 and Earth Day were coming up. So we started getting feedback of, "Man, I saw that you had that party out there. When's the next one?" So our IG, before, this is our second Austinite IG, but the first one, we got hit up all the time. Like, "Man, when are you going to do that again? When are you going to do that again?" So then we were like, "Let's do it one more time, but let's charge this time." And I remember it being like $5 and all the bud you could smoke, though, you know? And so we did it then, and then it was a success. And then my head was just like, we need to just do it in every single avenue. You know, we do puff and paint, we do comedy, we do our jiu-jitsu, our mixed martial arts with Cannabis Combat Club. We do just floral events. And then we did it to a way where we were giving back. So we do a back to school drive. We do a blanket drive. We do during the winter. Also, we do a food drive. So then if you want to come to our events, instead of paying at the door, then you just bring something. So it was always, to me, it was always, it worked out because like when we had your show, it was, we did amazing in the store because there'll be first time people that are coming to a comedy show, not knowing they can shop and get all their accessories from earrings to papers to any kind of little new gadget. We try to keep right on, you know, if you saw a little gadget on Instagram, you better be able to get it at my spot, you know, like, cause I'm out there like, you know, you just want to be kind of ahead of the curve. And so that's where we started shining on our 420 events. And then we had just people that would want to host or come in and be like, hey, I'll do a whole show with you. And that's when we did our South by. It was a little crazy. I don't know if we'll ever go that hard again. We did 8 days and we are a small team family. It was tough and it was, but we pushed through. I mean, it was, and some of our events were, you know, we didn't really plan them all that great because it was like they end at midnight and then we had another one, you know, we had a jiu-jitsu tournament that started at 12. So we were like, oh my gosh, the turnaround time. And then, you know, we live like 20 minutes from the place. So I remember just being like, crash where you can, recharge. And then here we were back out again. So
it's so cool what you've built there. And I did, in fact, I think meet basically all the kids and all the family and everybody who is, it's really family run because everywhere I turned, it's like, oh, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so, this is my niece, this is my daughter, this is my, and it was really cool to see how hands-on the whole family is. And you had me doing shots of like a hemp, the highway hemp vodka. Which I had never heard of before, but you really like, if it's cannabis, like you have it there, which I thought was super cool.
Right. I try to keep to where, especially that there's, you know, we have a lot of companies, you know, like that hemp vodka, shout out to them. They're Houston based and they've always supported us, man. I can tell them we're having a show and they're like, all right. And I got cases at my door, you know, because they know that we do, you know, we do events and it's, you know, it's kind of, and then we've gotten big traction, like where OCB just is like, here's a whole bunch of stuff. We know what you're doing, you know, and if, you know, y'all are bringing out goodie bags or any kind, our photos are everywhere, you know, with OCB. So I think it, you know, helps out. And then I go to a lot of other conventions where I just try to connect with other people. And I'm like, if they sell vodka, I'll always say, I'll get my vodka from you. If this person's a honey dealer, okay, well then your lane is honey. I'll buy my honey from you. And then, you know, we try to local businesses that are just locally and family owned like us, you know?
I love it. I wanted to give our listeners here like some background. I was going down to Austin with a group of comedians from out here from LA, and Estella reached out to me and was like, this is literally what I do. Like, call me so we could talk about doing a show here at Austinite Cannabis Co. And so I got on the phone with Estella, and basically you invited us to go do like an LA takeover show at Austinite. And it was so fun. It was sold out. Aldo Caldo, as you mentioned earlier, he ended up hosting the show. And it was just like very full circle and very cool to like work with a local comic, work with a local dispensary who also happened to be, you know, Mexican American. And all the comics on this tour with us were all like Mexican American from LA. So it was just like a very fun meeting of the worlds. And we definitely want to come back. And I also wanted to ask you, Estella, like, what are your plans for the future? Like, not only for Austinite, but just for yourself. You're an entrepreneur. You are hustling and bustling and have all these different interests. Like, what is next from you?
What next for me is getting what we've created in Austin up here to Oklahoma. That's like my biggest challenge, just because where I'm at in Oklahoma, we're like 10 years behind in times. If I can get them to even just take a chunk of what we're doing off there, And I have. I've done like bingo, and it's really hard to kind of get the stigma away from marijuana, believe it or not, here in Oklahoma, even though we have a big medical market. People don't realize that we're still in the Bible Belt. We're still where people don't, we're not accepting, you know. They're like, oh, you own dispensaries? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh God, you know? So we're really, that's my next thing, is that we're really trying to focus on making our events, even, you know, taking them, you know, to different cities and states, you know, I mean, that'd be awesome. We're doing a cannabis combat club open mat in San Antonio. And so we're going to use all of our stuff and kind of take that event to another city. So hopefully that's, you know, we keep just growing and growing. And that's what we want to do, is, you know, with the kids there. You know, my oldest is going to be graduating from Horticultural Texas State. She wants to start getting her hands on growing. And we just, you know, I'm trying to build something for them so that they can, you know, further their careers, and we can, you know, kind of stay together on this. And that's kind of where my goals are, is just, you know, being a family owned business where we can take care of, you know, each other. I'm not really trying to make it huge and rich, as long as, you know, they got jobs and, you know, we got jobs and we're comfortable in what we do. I think that's kind of just end goal, is just trying to get, you know, be a little bit more, you know, with our events. And then hopefully, you know, either supposed to be going recreational here in the next legislation, and, you know, hopefully some of this stuff starts to pay off.
Estella, what advice do you have for people who are interested in breaking in to the cannabis industry, especially in states like Texas and Oklahoma, in the South, in the Bible Belt?
Let me see. I was asked this the other day, and Castro was like, you got to think about this one before you answer. And I'm like, you know, and then, okay. I would say what I said at my other answer is that I was saying that you needed really thick skin. But then, you know, Castro was also, you know, mentioning that just as much as it's like any other businesses, you have, you know, not so great people that are in it. And there's a lot of people that have the, that they think that this is something that, oh, cannabis, this will be able to make a bunch of cash. You know, cash grabbers, like, oh yeah, this is not as well as a lucrative business as you think. And that's where I want people to understand that, like, this is not something that I make hundreds of thousands of dollars doing. We're just not there yet. And there's so many regulations and stipulations to everything that you do. And that's where it's just like, I would say that it is kind of you need thick skin, because I've gotten told no so many times, you know, and then you have so many expenses that you can't even think of. You know, it's normal for you to have a bank. Well, it costs, you know, $900 to have a bank here. Or I've had banks that have shut me down. Like, I've had, you know, two banks that they just say, you know what, we're not going to work with you anymore. And I'm like, well, can you give me a reason? And they're like, nope. And then you got to go back to being all cash and then paying your people that way. So it's a lot of headache and small businesses, at least, because everything, you know, in any other industry you'd go into, you want to open up a hair salon, well, you'd be able to get a bank and somebody might be able to give you a loan. You go into cannabis, you're already completely blacklisted. You know, people think you're that's all you are, as a drug dealer. And then you're getting taxed on every single thing. When you're like, this is a business, just like it would be for anything else. So I say, you know, a lot of money and thick skin. Cause I mean, I've even thought about, like, are we doing the right thing? You know, because it's just like, whoa, we're sitting up here, you know, spinning our wheels sometimes on how you can be different from other people, or, you know, stuff like that. And that all takes money. And then you're dealing, and you might be somebody that has corporate money. Well, we don't have corporate money. So everything that we have to do, we We grind, 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 and then we try to hit it. Grind, 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 go buy it. You know, grind, 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 do this. And there's a lot of times that it's just, it's almost like, wow, is this something that is, so, I mean, is this something that I'm doing that isn't paying off yet? You know, and but you have to kind of give yourself grace to be like, man, it's hard. You know, this is a hard business. If you can do it in here or here in Texas or in Oklahoma, I'm like, you can do it anywhere because we just go through so much, you know. And there's the laws are changing forever too in Oklahoma because they gave away too many licensing and they're trying to scale back and, you know, they're trying. So it's definitely, it's hard. Let me just put it that way.
Well, Estella, you're certainly creating like a new landscape for the next generations. And like you were there first is basically what it sounds like when it comes to like opening up shop in a place like Austin and being at the Capitol and tracking all these different changes and going to Oklahoma. Like you're really doing it in big ways. And I'm sure in the next 20 years, because of your participation, the landscape is going to look a lot more open and inclusive and different than it does now.
Right. And hopefully there's going to be a lot more women and brown women too, you know, because there's not a lot of us, especially me going to the Capitol and stuff like that. It's not a lot. So hopefully there's going to be more, you know, women Latina bosses too.
Totally. It's interesting because I think there's more and more Latinas are working to get into cannabis in different capacities, whether it's on the entertainment side, on the business side, on the legislation side, the what have you, the growing side, the product side. But I think that it's there's still not enough because everybody knows each other, you know, like all the Latinas yep. in cannabis know each other because there's still not that many.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I think about it too. Because I know people multi-states that are like, oh, so-and-so is that, you know, because there's like a couple of us, you know, it's not many. So it's forever changing. And I think that that's going to be super cool, you know, to have the kids, you know, one day, you know, and I told them this the other day, I was like, all right, guys, nothing passed for Oklahoma or Texas, but in your generation, you're going to see it and you're going to be able to say that you saw it and that you were around it and that you're going to be able to say, hey, you know what? My mom tried to work on that, you know? And then I always just think about the celebration, you know, how it's going to be, whether it be here first or whether it be Texas. I always dream of like, man, this is going to be, it's going to be a celebration to be like, you know, we're medically, you know, or recreational, but I kind of think we're going to go, it'll happen federally before it happens at any state level, but I'll be ready to have a big old party though.
hell yeah. I am so excited for the future and for everything you guys have planned in Oklahoma and Texas and beyond. Estella, where can people follow you and your work, and where can folks visit your dispensaries for those listening from Texas and Oklahoma?
Okay, so in Austin, you can find us in Austinite Austin. We have, let me bring up, you know, we're forever getting deleted on IG, but our one that we have right now is Austinite Cannabis _CO. And then the Austinite OK is just Austinite _okay. And then my handle is Estella Castro _. And please give me a follow because this is my second account that I'm working on. I have kind of lost hope a little bit, but now I'm starting to kind of post again because I'm like, after I got deleted, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe it. So, but we're back at it again. And then our website, we keep a bunch of information on that too. And that's just austinitecannabis.co.
you guys also have a podcast, and I was a guest on your podcast, interviewed by your kids who also work there and produce and host the podcast. Where can folks listen to the Austinite Cannabis Co. podcast?
It's just Austinite is the on. You can find us on YouTube. Yeah. And the kids just did that, started that little podcast when I lost my account. And they were like, and we were just during, it was during legislation stuff. And like, we need to figure out a way we can talk and get an outlet going. And then we started that up. So it's been fun. And they've been very fortunate that I get some really good guests like yourself, or I get growers that are coming in, and they've been able to really connect with some really good folks on there. So it's awesome.
Yes, they had me smoking out of like a really interesting contraption. It was like, what was it exactly? They had to teach me
a
how
Puffco.
To use
it. Yeah, a Puffco, but David is a real big dabber. So it's a Puffco, but then he has a special ordered glass that he's gotten, I think either from Champs, that he sticks that sucker on there. And yeah, it's a whole thing. And then they've come out with different Puffco products, and we carry a lot of those. But yeah, it's got to vibrate, and then you got to think about, like, you know, with dabbing, you can't hold it in. You got to like exhale it really, you know. I'm like, oh gosh, it's a lot, but it's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun to try. I love smoking in new formats and trying all the new contraptions. So you guys go to YouTube and look for the Austinite podcast. Listen to their existing episodes. I have an interview with them, and give it a listen. Give it a share.
Yes, for sure.
All right, Estella, thank you so much for stopping by Marihuanera, a podcast for podheads. Thank you for being here.